Turning your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. We're going to continue, of course, our study of the book of Hebrews. And this book was written to Jewish believers first century. Now, this is not new because we've talked about this in the weeks past. We've seen the problem. They trusted Christ. But when the persecution came, the best we can tell, they turned back to the law of Moses. The goal of the letter, the reason it's written, turn them back to God, remind them that they must have a walk of faith and to trust God and to go on to maturity. How's the author going to do this? Well, in the first 10 chapters, he shows that Jesus is better than anything connected with the law. He's the better sacrifice, the great high priest, the better covenant, the better rest. But then as he moves to chapter 11, he does something a little bit different. He uses a different method. He reminds the readers of a number of Old Testament believers who took God at his word, men and women who trusted God in the events and circumstances of life. And what he wanted them to do was to be encouraged as they read chapter 11 and say, if these people can live by faith, we can live by faith. And of course, when we look at it, we're reminded of the same thing. And so as we see this passage, which is called the Hall of Fame of Faith, we want to see men and women who took God at His Word. And our goal, of course, as we study through this section, is that we'd see faith lived out. That's the key. And we want to be men and women who trust God. Now, we've seen a lot so far in the study. There's so much that we can apply from each of these lives. In fact, each one of these has some little aspect to it that's a little bit different. When we started this chapter, we decided to talk about three or four things. We said, first of all, what is faith? Because we said we need a definition of faith since we're calling this the Hall of Fame of Faith. Well, faith is taking God at His word. That's the key. Faith is saying whatever God says is true, and I trust that. Then we move to one of the keys, and that one of the key principles, and that's the object of our faith. And we said, bottom line, faith always has an object, and it's not the amount of faith or the quality of faith, but it's the object of our faith which counts. Now, you've got people saying all the time things like, did you really believe, or if a person really believed. There's no such thing as really believing. Either you believe or you don't believe, and it's not how much faith you have, and it's not the quality or the quantity. It is the object of your faith, which is the key. Because you can put all your faith in Buddha and you're not saved, but you can put your faith as small as a grain of mustard seed in Jesus Christ and you have eternal life. We then saw different acts of faith. We saw that Abel had a sacrifice of faith, and Enoch had a walk of faith, and Noah had a work of faith, and Abraham had obedience of faith, and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob all were dwelling by faith, and then Sarah and Abraham had a birth by faith, and Abraham looked to his future by faith, and then we saw Abraham offering his son Isaac by faith, and then we saw Isaac and Jacob giving blessings by faith, and then we saw Joseph giving instructions about his bones by faith, then we saw the parents of Moses hiding Moses by faith. And then last time, we saw Moses made a decision by faith. All these different by faith, and that was the decision, was to leave the household of Pharaoh and to go out and be called a Hebrew and to go out and live with the slaves and become a slave, to leave the kingdom, you might say, and become a slave. Well, this evening we're continuing and we're looking at Moses. He's one of the most famous men in the Bible, one of the most famous men, of course, Old Testament. And for Israel is concerned, he's the lawgiver and he was one of the great ones. But we're going to see how by faith, we call it leaving by faith, because he's going to leave Egypt and he's going to trust God. And in our lives, we look at the same thing, and we have to look to God rather than the circumstances. Because let me tell you, if you're Moses in the nation of Israel and you're coming out of Egypt, the circumstances don't look good at all. But God is in control, and you have to trust Him on what He said to do. So there's a lot there. We'll look at all this tonight as we go. We're going to look at verses 27, 28, 29. We'll actually just get 27 and 28 details and just a little bit on 29, and we'll get that the next week. So let's start by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great night. Lord, I just thank you for each one that is here. It means so much to me that we can come together and pray and eat over the other place and study and sing and just do all of these things. And so, Lord, we ask you as we look at the book of Hebrews that it might challenge us tonight, it might excite us, and we might see things there that will encourage us as we seek to live for you. Lord, we know that the goal, and we saw it, Lord, as we thought about Romans on Sunday morning, that we want to offer our lives to you. Our lives, we want it to count for you. And so, Lord, as we think about being men and women of faith, that's what we want to do. Lord, we ask you that as we look at Moses and we see what he did, that we see his faith and how we can do the same sort of things, trust you daily. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as believers, we're to choose to live for Jesus Christ, and when we do that, we're going contrary to this world. And when we go against this world, there's always going to be problems and trials and conflicts and different circumstances, because we choose to do what's right. We choose to say we're going to live our life based on the Word of God. I always say that the Christian life is a walk of faith based on the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is, a walk of faith based on the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we choose to do what is right, rather than what is convenient necessarily, we're going to have trials and problems because we live in a fallen world. I had a friend that one time, this has been a number of years ago, but he had to decide because he was working at a job that was compromising his values. He was a Christian, and there were things that were really, they were asking him to do that he just did not feel that was right, and he had to quit, and it was a good job. And he said, I have to quit. And I thought it was pretty powerful that he did that, because some people would say, well, I'm just going to kind of go on because I can't afford to lose my job. But he made a big decision. This evening, we're going to see Moses doing what is right. He leads the children out of Egypt, and the children of Israel out of Egypt, not fearing the Pharaoh. Look at the verses, if you would. Look at verse 27. It says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. And by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. That's the three verses. We're really going to emphasize verses 27 and 28. We'll get 29 in more detail next time. But I think there are three things by faith. By faith, he was not afraid of the Pharaoh. By faith, he was delivered from death. By faith, he had victory over the enemies. Those kind of things. And you know, we think about our life. By faith, we don't have to be afraid in this fallen world. I mean, the world, that's there, but we don't have to be afraid. And by faith, we can be delivered from death, because we have. We've got the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And by faith in Him, He's the Passover Lamb. And then by faith, we have victory over the enemy. Now, I've got an outline. Mark's going to put it up for us, but it's verses, it just covers these three verses. And we got in 27, 28, and 29, Moses leaving by faith. The first by faith is, by faith he was not afraid of the Pharaoh. Now, the Pharaoh was the most powerful person in the world, and he was not afraid of him because he left Egypt and he looked to God. Then, by faith, delivered from death. And there's two things he mentions. Kept the Passover, sprinkled blood. We'll talk about how that tied together. And the third thing is the one we really won't get to tonight very much, but victory over the enemies. They passed through the Red Sea and the Egyptians were drowned. Now, if you talk to any Jewish person, the most important event in their history is being delivered from Egypt in the bondage. That's just that they go back to that all the time. And Moses was the man who led them out. And so we'll see that as we go through. Let's begin. So, not afraid of the king, delivered from death, victory over the enemies. And as I said a while ago, tonight, really the emphasis will be on verses 27 and 28, and then just a little bit on 29. Look how he starts in verse 27. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Now, we'll see what he all talks about, but he says by faith. And notice, just like all the way through the whole chapter, everything starts by faith. Every statement shows, here's this example of faith. It says, by faith, he left Egypt. Now, you remember the last time that we studied this, he had been brought up at the court of the king, at the court of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's daughter had basically found him floating out in the water, and she raised him. And for the first 40 years of his life, he was trained in all the power and the majesty of the Egyptians, being groomed possibly to be the next Pharaoh. No telling what was going to happen. And yet he came to the realization that he was an Egyptian. He knew he was Jewish. He knew his mother. He knew his real mother. She had told him how special he was and that he had been set apart by God, and he was a beautiful child, special in the sight of God. God was going to use him. In fact, I believe Moses knew from his mother and from his daddy that he was going to be the one to deliver the nation. And so here he is, this young man, probably say 15, 20, 25, 30, all this time thinking, I'm going to be the one. And at age 40, as we saw from the book of Acts, he decided that he was going to leave Pharaoh's household and go identify himself with his own people and become a slave. And boy, that's what he did. And there had been this gap of 40 years, and now he's 40 years old. And he did something bad. He saw an Egyptian hurting a Jewish person, and he killed the Egyptian. And when he found out it was known, he had to run for his life, and he ran and he left, and he went to a section called Midian, which basically Sinai Peninsula, that area. And he met a man named Jethro, and he married Jethro's daughter, and he was there, and 40 years passed. And what's the most amazing thing, and this, I think it gives confidence and courage to all of us, for 40 years it looked like nothing was happening. And he could actually say, I had a good life. I mean, I was going to be used by God in a mighty way. God was going to use me to deliver the people. You would think they would have understood that, but they didn't. And here I am. I'm now an 80-year-old man, and I've done nothing. For the last 40 years, all I've done is live on the backside of the desert with Jethro's, my father-in-law's sheep, taking care of them. He didn't know that God was planning and using him and training him for 40 years to take care of sheep, because the next 40 years of his life, he's going to be in the wilderness. But this next time, it's not going to be sheep. It's going to be what? People. And so God says, the training in Egypt did not get you ready to do what I have for you to do. And you know, there's nothing wrong with it. We got a great world. It's a fallen world, but it's a great world. But you know, the things of this world don't train you to be a godly person. It's God's word that trains you, and God's people, and meeting together and loving one another and encouraging one another. That's the way we're going to make an impact. It's not the things of this world that train us. It's the things of God. So here he is, we'll pray, 80 years old. And you think, okay, I'm 80 years old now, what? And that's the burning bush story, and we'll talk a little bit about it. I think I'm going to take us back to it in just a few minutes. We'll go back to Exodus. But God comes to him and tells him to lead the people out. It's almost as if he said, I thought you forgot about me. I've been out here for 40 years. I thought you were going to use me 40 years ago. And you can almost hear God saying, you weren't ready yet. Now you're ready. And so he goes back, and if you remember, he goes and he tells the Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. Can you imagine? Oh, let me ask you this question. You ever spoke for God? I mean, Moses went directly to Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. He's speaking directly for God. You ever spoke directly for God? The truth is, when you go to the Word of God and you say, the Word of God says, let's offer our lives as living sacrifices. You're speaking for God. You're speaking with the authority of the Scripture. It's the Scripture that's the authority. You can say, the Word of God says you are saved by grace through faith. And you can speak with authority because it's the authority of the Word. Here's Moses going to Pharaoh with the authority of God. He didn't have to be afraid. He says, God says, let my people go. And of course, Pharaoh says no. And he's going to leave. And notice what it says. We'll go back to it in a second. But look at verse 27. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. They're walking out. The slaves are leaving. We're not talking about an army leaving. We're talking about the slaves. He walks right out. He's not even afraid of the wrath of the Pharaoh. How can an 80-year-old man challenge the most powerful man and the most powerful army in the world with a whole people of slaves? He doesn't have an army. They don't have any weapons. I mean, you didn't see Moses going, listen, if you don't do something about this, I'm going to get all these people. We're going to come here and attack you. They're not going to do that. How can he do that? Well, he was not afraid. Why was he not afraid? Well, I want you to see something. Hold your place there and go back to Exodus 3, and we can see why the 80-year-old man was not afraid to face Pharaoh and not afraid to walk out. Let me ask you this. Let's say the slaves decide to walk out, which is what they did. What's going to keep the Egyptians from just killing them all as they walk out? What's going to keep them from doing that? God is. In fact, watch what he says. This is what's so amazing. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Now, Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Does anybody know the other name for Mount Horeb? Mount Sinai. This is the same place he's going to come back and get the law. Sometimes we forget that, but he's out there in the wilderness by this mountain, and there's going to come a time he's coming back to the same place and get the law, the 613 commandments, but the top 10 anyway. Look, now watch what happens. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. He's out in the middle of nowhere, and suddenly he sees this bush on fire. And that's not so unusual, because I've read that sometimes that, you know, fires could start out there, or some things would be so hot, something so brittle. But what was amazing about it, the bush wasn't consumed. It wasn't that just a bush was burning up. It was that it wasn't being consumed. And so he says, verse 3, so Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. He said, this is what's amazing, not that a bush is burning, but the fact that it's not burning up. And then look down at verse 9, because God speaks to him. Now, behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, that's what Moses thought, 40 years ago was going to happen. And now, after 40 years of, you might say, he's got to the point, he says, you know, I think pretty much my career is over. When you get 80, your career is pretty much over. I guess God's not going to do what he said, or he's going to do it with a different person. And now God says, I want you to bring my people out. So how does Moses respond? Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? You know what he's really saying? It's past me. Who am I? Listen, I'm 80 years old. I'm not going to help you when I was 40. I'm not going to help you when I was younger, but don't you think it's too late? But look, here's the verse. This is the key to me. Why Moses was not afraid when he was willing to leave. Look what it says. And he said, certainly I will be with you. That's all you have to have. I will be with you. This shall be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. That's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to come back to this mountain. They're going to worship there, and they're going to get the law. But the words that I think are the key is what? Certainly, I will be with you. How could an 80-year-old man defy the most powerful king in the world? Because God was with him. God plus us is always a majority, you know. He could leave not fearing the king. God told him to do it. God was with him. That's why the Bible says to us, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Why should you fear? We got the same promise. When we get up in the morning, when we walk out the door, we go out into the world, he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. What should you fear? When he talked to the men about doing the Great Commission, he said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You don't have to be afraid. I'm always with you. God says to Moses, 80-year-old man, you don't have to be afraid. I will be with you. This is my promise. When we think about the trials, problems, circumstances, ups and downs of life, you don't have to be afraid because he is with us. There are going to be some tough times. They went back. He went back. Went straight to the Pharaoh, said, let my people go. And what happened? Things got a lot worse. They did not get better. He said they cut off all the straw, and he said people are going to have to make their own bricks. They're going to have to get their own straw. What did the people do? The people said, Moses, we're so glad you're back. Every one of them said, we wish you had never come back. Look what you've done. You've caused us nothing but trouble. And you can see Moses going, I'm just doing what God said. All the plagues. But notice, I want you to, you've seen this part, go back to Hebrews, because I want you to see something when you get back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verse 27. Notice what this says. I think this is beautiful. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He's not fearing the wrath of the king. Why? Because he knew God was with him. Notice, for he endured, he was able to make it, as seeing him who is unseen. See, you see God now? Truthfully, I ain't seen him. Have you seen him? Is he with you? We're seeing the one who's unseen. When we say to people, God's with us, they say, I don't see him. I remember back when I was a boy, when the cosmonaut went up, the Russian one, I remember what he said. He went around the world, and what did he say? He said, I don't see God up here. He's there. He just didn't see him. And see, it said he was looking. He was seeing him who is unseen. We're going to see it just a little bit later in the book of Hebrews. Run the race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. How are you going to make it? You can't look at the temporal things. You've got to see the eternal things. And you've got to look at the one that's eternal. And you've got to look at the one that's behind all of these things. Keep your eyes on Christ. Moses was not afraid of what God had called him to do because God says, I will be with you. Even though I'm unseen, you can see me. And we see him in the pages of Scripture, and we see him as he works the events of our lives, and we rest in him knowing that he is God. And when we walk out these doors and we scatter throughout this world, we don't have to be afraid because he's working everything and he's right there. Well, look at the next thing, because he says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Wasn't afraid of the king. Why? Because he endured. He was seeing him who was unseen. He saw God through the whole thing. But then there's a second thing. Look what it says. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Now, there's by faith he did two things here. He kept Passover and sprinkled the blood. Now, there's two things there, because Passover and sprinkling the blood are two different things. I'll show them to you. Why did he do that? So that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Who destroyed the firstborn? The death. God sent an angel through the land of Egypt and killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt. Is that true? Every firstborn in the land of Egypt? Except those who did what? Kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. It's powerful. God told Moses that the final plague is coming. He's already done all these plagues, and the final plague would come. It would be the death of the firstborn. Let me ask you something. Why was the death of the firstborn a plague? What was the deal about it? What was so bad? Because, you know, I told you that all of the plagues were against the gods of Egypt. Why was the firstborn a plague against one of the gods of Egypt? Well, Pharaoh was considered what? A god, and his firstborn son who would follow him as Pharaoh was going to be the next god. It was just a judgment on one of their gods. That's all it is. And so he says, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so to be delivered from death. I want you to see this. Turn to Exodus 12. It's one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. I think it's because it was scary to me. I can remember right after I trusted Christ when I was 19, and of course I read Genesis, and then I read Exodus, and then I got in Leviticus, and that was about all I could do in that, and I moved on to the new book, to the New Testament part. But you know, it's so amazing what's in this passage. Look at Exodus 12, look at verse 1. This is the keeping of the Passover. Now, the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of the month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to the father's household, a lamb for each household. Now, that's the first thing. They're going to take this lamb. What are they going to do? You shall keep it till, this is verse 6. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. That's called what? This feast is called what now? Passover. This is called, he's saying that he kept the Passover. They kill, what the Passover is supposed to do is you kill the animal and you eat it. That's the Passover celebration. But there's a little bit more to it, because he says, here's what I want you to do. There were two things. One was to kill the Passover, and the other thing was to what? Sprinkle the blood. Look at verse 7. Moreover, they should take some of the blood, put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. Now, they were to take this lamb, get it on the 10th day of the month. On the 14th day of the month, they were to kill it and get ready to eat it. But then they were to take the blood and go put it on the two sides of the door and the top of the door. Why? Verse 12, for I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the Pharaoh because he could see the unseen God. He was God was with him. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. They killed the animal and they put the blood on the door. That's by faith. Their faith was in that God would deliver them by the blood of the Lamb. See, they knew. They stayed in that house, they had the blood on the door, and they believed that when the angel came through and he saw the blood, they would be saved by the blood of the Passover lamb. They believed that. They stayed in the house. They killed the animal. They put the blood on the door. What about somebody who said, I'm not doing that. I don't think all that. What's going to happen to them? Firstborn's going to die. Do you imagine, do you think that some Jewish people went to some Egyptian people that they knew and loved and said, listen, you better do this. You better believe us. God's going to send an angel through. You've seen these other plagues. You better kill. Look, we'll give you part of our Passover lamb. You can have the blood. Put it on your door. Do you think they did that? What do you think? I think they did. You think some Egyptians believed? I do. In fact, the Bible says it wasn't just the Jewish people that left Egypt that night. A bunch of people left with them. That's by faith. The truth for us, we are delivered from death by faith in our Passover lamb. That's why I think that it's so incredible. And very soon, in just the next 2 or 3 weeks on Sunday night, we'll get into it in the Gospel of Mark. But on Sunday morning, it won't be too long. It's going to be Easter. And what do we think of? We think about Jesus Christ dying on the cross, paying for sin, shedding his blood, being buried, and rising again after 3 days. The Gospel of Mark, we're studying on Sunday night, and they're next Sunday night, not this coming Sunday night, but the next Sunday night, they're going to be taking the Passover, doing this very thing that God told them to do all the way up even to the time of Christ. And what is so amazing, Jesus Christ took that night and said, see this Passover stuff? See this bread? It's my body. See this juice? It's my blood. What he was saying to them is, I'm the what? I'm the Passover lamb that's going to save you from the bondage of sin. To me, that's the most amazing thing. I think the Bible is so perfect because it fits together in everything. And the more you study it, it doesn't get more jumbled. It gets more concrete. And when people say, well, the Bible, all those scholars study it and they don't believe it. That's because they didn't believe it to start with. Let me tell you, the more you study it, and the more you dig it, and I've studied both Hebrew and Greek, and I've studied it in all of the manuscripts, I've looked at everything I could, and the more I've studied it, the more I believe it, not the less. And the more I study it, the more it fits together. And how in the world could we see all the way back to Exodus 12 and the nation of Israel being in bondage in Egypt and God telling them to kill this lamb and put the blood on the door and I'll deliver you from the bondage of Egypt by the blood of the lamb, and then years later, 1,500 years later, you see Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and telling his men that his blood will be shed for their redemption and knowing that he's our Passover lamb. And then Paul writes later and says, Jesus Christ, our Passover has been sacrificed for us. You can't take it for granted. It's so beautiful. We trust in Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb who redeems us, and we come to Jesus and his blood. The judgment passes over us. It's already been put on Christ. So by faith, what did he do? By faith, Hebrews, but by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn, that's God or the angel that was coming through, would not touch them. Now, I want to show you something. I gave you the handout tonight, and it's Moses, and I call Moses a type of Christ. You know what a type is? Just so you'll understand. A type is something that's more like a foreshadow. It's something in the Old Testament that is looking forward or foreshadowing or being a picture of something to come. And when we say a type of Christ, that means something in the Old Testament was really a picture of Jesus Christ. We know that the Passover lamb is a type of Christ. The Passover lamb that was slain in Egypt to deliver them from bondage is a type of Christ. Well, you realize that Moses is a type of Christ, even though a lot of times they're contrasted because it says the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But I want you to see how Moses is a type of Christ. Watch this. Look on the left side. Moses, when he was born, what happened to him? He was almost what? Almost killed. He had to be hid for 3 months. When Jesus Christ was born, what happened to him? He's almost killed because Herod wanted to kill all the boy babies 2 years old and under. Then Moses left the kingdom of Egypt. What did he do? He left the glories of the kingdom of Egypt and became a slave, came into his own people. What did Jesus Christ do? He left the glories of heaven, made himself of no reputation, and became a human being, came into his own people. Third, Moses was rejected by his people. In Acts 7:25, it says, he thought they would understand he would be the one. They didn't. They rejected him. Jesus Christ came into his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. Moses was a prophet and a priest. He was. He was a priest. He was the tribe of Levi, and he was the prophet. In fact, he is the prophet that, the great prophet in the Old Testament, really. One of the great. Well, Jesus is the prophet, the priest, and the king. And then finally, Moses delivered the Jewish people out of Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. Jesus Christ delivers mankind by the blood of the Passover lamb. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that incredible? What a great picture. Don't you love it? I love stuff like that. And you know, you can use that and you can say to people, look, here's Moses as a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. Great stuff. Well, look at verse 29 just 1 second. It says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Now, we're going to talk about this next time. Have you ever thought about the people leaving Egypt, getting to the edge of the Red Sea and going to cross over and get to the other side? And let's say it's not real far to go. Let's just say it's not real far, okay? Let's say it's a mile. Let's say it's a half a mile. How many people got to cross over? 2 to 3 million people. Well, how many people is that? How long is that going to take? How wide? Is it going to be this wide? Are you going to get 3 million people to go across the place this wide? Is it going to be as wide as this room? How far is the water going to divide? How long does it take them? How are you going to get all those people? You got men, women, children, animals, you got everything. They got to go across, and they go across on mud, dry land. And how long does it take them? It takes them all night. They start, it's in daybreak when the water comes back on them, on the Egyptians. You ever thought about how to get 3 million people across something? I mean, it wasn't that easy. I mean, you think about it. Let's say this. You're one of the 3 million. Where's the water? It's a wall to the right and to the left of you. Are you going to go, oh, yeah, I'm pretty brave. I'll just walk right through this. Or how do you think about that? You ever thought about the people going, oh, my gracious, we're supposed to go this way? What if this stuff falls down? You ever thought about that? Would you have gone through there? I mean, we'd probably say, well, if everybody's going, I'm going. Wow, and we're going to see that next week when we talk about it. Moses, leaving by faith, he left Egypt. He wasn't afraid of the king. Why? Because God was with him. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Why? Because it delivered him from death, and he believed that. And then last but not least, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea and defeated the enemies. We'll see that more next time. Let me give you a couple of applications. Okay, in the trials of life, let's keep our eyes on Christ. See, what did Moses do? He knew that God was telling him to go and he would be with him, and we have to do the same thing. We have to realize that the trials and problems of life and the circumstances of life, how do we face them without fear? I think that God is with us. Hebrews 13, just like Moses, God told Moses, I will be with you. God is with us. And then here's the second one. Look at this one, B. God is the power. He's the power. That's why God said, I will take you out. I will bring you out. Who delivered them? Did Moses deliver them? Not really. God delivered them. Moses was the leader, but God delivered them. And through life, we got to realize God is the power. And then in the trials of life, we keep our focus on Him. And if a person were to say, well, I don't have very many trials, you will. If you don't have many now, you will. Everybody has trials. Then the problems, the older you get, seem like the worse they are. But there's some great things. And there's number two. We are delivered by Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb. Isn't that the most beautiful thing? I love it. I love the Easter time. I love the Passover part. I love John 1:29 when John the Baptist says to Jesus at the very beginning of the ministry, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I love the Isaiah passage that he was bruised and like a lamb led to the slaughter. I love the John 10 when he's the great shepherd and he's the lamb and he's going to lay down his life and all of these verses and everything that all tie together. And he ends up dying for us and rising again. and we're delivered by the blood of the Passover Lamb. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Never be afraid to stand for what you know is right. We live in a world that wants to have a pluralistic way and tell you there are a lot of ways to God, and don't offend somebody and be tolerant and everything. Let me tell you, just be honest as you can be and say, Jesus is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Those other ways are not accurate. They are no gods. That's humanism, and it's human ways of trying to get to God. It's false. There's only one God and one Savior and one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. And without Christ, there is no hope for anyone. He is the Passover Lamb who delivers us from the bondage of sin. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. When we leave this local body and scatter out into this world, we cannot be afraid because He's with us. We have been delivered by the blood of the Lamb. And He is our Savior and our King. Let's pray and we'll open up for any questions. Heavenly Father, thank You for the passage. We see Moses, what a man. Not afraid to walk right out because he knows You're with him. And by faith, he did the Passover and the sprinkling of blood because he knew You were going to deliver him from death. And by faith, they even passed through the Red Sea. And Lord, I pray that as we think about going out these doors and going into this community, that by faith, we won't be afraid because You're with us. You said You would be with us. You promised us, and we don't have to be afraid. And by faith, we know that we've been sprinkled, in a sense, by the blood of the Lamb, that Jesus Christ is the Passover Lamb who takes away the sin of the entire world, and we have trusted in Jesus, and He's given to us eternal life. Thank You, Lord. And Lord, we'll even think next week about being delivered from the enemies and how we trust You and rest in You. Lord, may we be men and women of faith. Thank You for these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.